Good evening, everybody. You may be seated if you're not sitting already. So, welcome to Wednesday night. Any guests here in the house? First time guests? No? Any first time guests online? There's a link that you can click on. Bit.ly CGC Connection. Get in contact with us. We'd love to reach out to you and give you a gift. Giving options. So there's a plexiglass box out in the on the kiosk. You can mail it in. You can go to the website. You can get the church app. There are many, many, many ways to get your blessing from giving to the church. And giving is a way of worship. Amen? Amen? Amen. Don't short yourself out of God's blessings by being stingy. There you go. This Saturday, there's a ladies' bonfire at 6 p.m. Bring a chair and meet out by the fire pits. But it doesn't say where this bonfire is. So, find somebody with a bonfire, show up with a chair, and start a Bible study. Unless anyone knows where this bonfire is. Oh, it's here. Okay. Well, come here with a chair and meet out by the fire pits. New life classes, the new cycle begins October 2nd. So not this Sunday, but next Sunday. 101, the first class, is going to be in what used to be the library across the hall. 201 is going to be in a conference room way back here in the corner. And 301 is going to be in Pastor Roy's office, which is in the office complex over here. If you've recently been baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost, it is your next step to grow here at CGC. And that's all I have. If we all want to stand, we'll pray for tonight's service and get back into worship. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord God, there are many needs represented here today, Lord God, in the minds and the hearts of the saints gathered in this tabernacle. Lord God, I pray that you would meet those needs according to your will, that you would touch Rick as he brings forth the word of the Lord. Lord God, that you would bring us into that restful place, that rejuvenating place, Lord God, and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord Jesus. Lord God, speak to our souls and what we need to hear. Open up our hearts. Lord God, allow the seeds that are going to be planted to rest on fruitful ground. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take me there. Praise God. What a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Almighty. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Such an honor to be here. I've had the privilege in my life to speak at many places around the United States, not like all over, but I've had my share. But it always feels good to be home, amen? It feels good to be here at Calvary Gospel Church amongst family. I don't know how much you know this, but I admire each one of you very much. So I love you guys. Appreciate you. And with that, I found out tonight that I got the keys to Dad's car, right? I came in here tonight, and I found out that not only am I preaching, they gave me a microphone, but they're over there, and I'm over here, so... But I said something to Roy about that, and he said, well, if you want to preach again, you better keep it down. I was like, yes, sir. So don't rat me out, okay? Praise God. We serve a great God. Amen? Amen. Well, if you see my wife doing some funny gestures tonight, she's just trying to keep me between the lines, all right? So as I speak, if you look over there and she's like, slow down a little. Maybe I'm preaching a little too fast, or maybe she's like, come on, honey, look at the time. We got to get going, you know, those signals. Or if you see her going like this, it's like, that's not good at all, okay? So, but honey, you forgot my pee pad up here too, so I'm a little nervous. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not nervous at all, actually. This is fun. Praise God. We serve a great God, amen? Praise God. He does exceedingly and abundantly above all, the Bible says. And I can confirm that as many of each one of us here in this place. God is so good to us, and we are so undeserving of his goodness. Amen? Praise God. And if you come here tonight with a spirit of expectation, God will not let you down. I know it's Wednesday night here at Calvary Gospel Church, and I know we're tired. We've worked hard today, and we go home, and we try to rush the kids through getting their homework done. Some of you young people are trying to cram for finals, exams, whatever the case may be. Some of our men trying to get through projects, and we get our families, and we rush, and we get to church, and here we are. Amen. But if you come tonight expecting, God will not let you down. God is here, and he wants to do something great in your life. It's Wednesday night at Calvary Gospel Church, but God has a great plan for your life. Praise God. God cares for you. We know this from his word. God has great plans for your life. We know this, again, from his word. And yes, even after all of our failures and faults, God wants to use you to fulfill his work for his glory. Amen? And you think to yourself, but Brother Solberg, you don't understand. You see, I failed God time and time again, and sometimes we can let ourselves get beat up by our own selves. Amen? But if we look at the Bible, we look at certain people like David. He was an adulterer. And we look at these high people that we esteem as awesome, but he was an adulterer. We look at Moses. Moses came from a broken home, and he was a murderer. We look at Jonah. He was a prophet of God, and he tried to run from him. And we look at Simon Peter, you know, the guy who the Bible says, upon this rock I will build my church. Mister, I give the keys to the kingdom. The Bible says that he denied Jesus immediately after walking with him. Amen. So that gives me hope. Amen. Because when I see that these great men of God have failed God, but yet God has faithfully had mercy and grace upon them and continue to use them, I know that God will continue to use us. Amen. Praise God. You see, the enemy wants to destroy you. He has a strategical map. He has a systematic plan to destroy you and your family. And he has assigned his little imps to come after you and your family. No, he can't hurt you physically unless God allows it, like the book of Job. But he wants to leave you feeling helpless. He wants to leave you feeling powerless. He wants to leave you feeling paralyzed. Amen. He wants to leave you feeling depressed and ready to give up. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's times in our walk with God where we've all felt that way, where we feel like, yes, I want to do something great for God. I want to pray. I want to do something. But when you commit to doing it, you just feel helpless. Amen? But praise God. But God has a greater plan for your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Amen? Praise God. Pastor Phil did a great job this past Sunday morning as he was teaching on the Ten Commandments. He did a very thorough job, and I really enjoy listening to him. And then we go home and we open up our devotion with the kids, and we had a good time doing the devotion this week, kind of discussing the Ten Commandments. It threw me a curveball yesterday. It says, "What's your favorite Ten Commandment?" I'm like, "Really? What's my favorite rule of things that I can't do?" But praise God, I'm thankful for God's word. And Sunday morning we listened to Pastor Roy, and he preached a great message about finding strength in your battles. Amen. And tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to piggyback off of the battle theme that Pastor preached about and what I feel that God is leading me to speak on over the last few weeks is conquer or be conquered, all right? Conquer or be conquered. Now, in the book of Romans, we look in the book of Romans. Romans was written by Paul, and Paul is saying in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Or some of you people who have been around here a long time, as Bishop would always say, if God be for us, everyone else might as well be. And Bishop, if you're listening online, we love you very much. Amen? Praise God. We hope you recover soon. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That should get you excited right there. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Praise God, more than conquerors. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Through God, I am more than a conqueror." There's a saying that we have all heard, and it says this: kill or be killed. We're all in a war right now. Amen? There's a battle raging right now, and you can see the evidence of that battle all around you. No, I'm not advocating that you literally go out and kill somebody in this battle. That's not how we fight this battle, amen? If we look to the Bible in 2 Corinthians verse 10, 3 through 6, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Have you ever gone home and you can just feel the tension and you can feel the friction in your house, and you just know that there's something going on here more than what you can see with your eyes? Have you ever just rebuked that spirit from your home? You know, your kids are such angels all the time, but suddenly they're just like freaking out, right? And maybe your spouse is kind of like, you know, your spouse. Praise God. But you know what? You realize, if you're sensitive in the spirit, you can realize that there's something going on in my home. And you need to pray and you need to be sensitive to that. Amen? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Amen? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself, against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Warfare. We all know that in warfare there's always two sides, right? When you're a little kid, you play war, you get to be, you have good guys and you have bad guys. Well, in this war that we're talking about, there's Team Heaven and there's Team Hell. And you're either on Team Heaven or you're on Team Hell. And if you don't want to be involved in the war or you're not claiming to be on either side, let me be real clear here. You're already on Team Hell. There's no gray area in this war. There's no neutral zones. There's no chances to wave any white flags. It's either conquer or be conquered. And the enemy that we are fighting in this war, he's relentless. Don't you think for one moment that you can just quit? You can put it in cruise control, that you can back off, or you can compromise with the devil. I know many people who have walked away from church, who have walked away from God. They've literally come in for years and sat idly in the pew, and then they finally just kind of drifted out the door, and they think, well, I just will just kind of blend right back in with the world. But that's not how it works. See, the enemy is relentless. He's ruthless. He's going to continue to drive upon you and come after you and your family. He won't stop until you and your family and your family's family are a smoldering pile of ashes. He only has one goal in mind, and that is to destroy you to get to him. Amen? In the words of Brother Jeff Arnold, this is for Brother Repka, you're not hearing me. Me and if you've ever heard Brother Arnold preach, he would always be like, you're not hearing me. So me and Brother Repka, we'd always joke around about that. But God's already defeated the devil, all right? This is something that's already settled. And he did it with minimal effort. How cool is he, right? So the enemy knows that the only way to hurt the Father is through his kids. Amen? I wish somebody would get on their feet right now and be thankful that you're one of his kids. Amen? Praise God. Lord Jesus, we love you, God. We thank you, God, that we have the privilege of being your children, God. We thank you, God, that we can be in your presence, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. The day that you repented of your sins, brothers and sisters, and the day that you went down in his name and your sins were all washed away, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. And that day you received his spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You were adopted as his own. And you are now part of the family. We may not be a pretty looking family, but hey, I'm thankful to be part of that family. God's been changing and God's been restoring and God's been doing great things through people for many years. And that gives me hope that he can still do something with me. Amen? Praise God. The Bible says he's the king. He's victorious king. He's the king of all kings. Amen? The Bible tells us a story or a vision that God gave to Isaiah in the book of Isaiah. An all-familiar passage of Scripture that reads like this, in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Throughout the Old Testament, time and time again, we see God defeating his enemies. The Bible says his train filled the temple. This is a word picture that we have here. The temple represents a large gathering place. There's the Holy of Holies in the temple, but there was a courtyard where the sacrifices took place. And this is where people would often come and meet one another because there was a very commonplace, kind of like the farmer's market or something like that, where people would just come and gather. And so here we have in this word picture that we have God's temple. And it says that his train filled the temple. Now, the king's train was a representation of the victories he'd done. Time and time again, every time that there was a royal victory, they would call for the royal tailor to be summoned to add to the king's royal train. So as the king would perform a victory, the tailor would be summoned, and he would sew on an extra section of train, and that train would follow behind the king, all right? And the Bible says that God's train filled the whole temple. Now, to go a step further, the book of John, chapter 21, verse 24 and 25, says this incredible passage of Scripture. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Here it is. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, of the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen? That ought to get us excited, because there's many other testimonies. If they should be written, the whole world itself could not contain it. You know what that sounds like to me? Someone call the royal tailor, folks, because we're having victory, victory, victory. Praise God. God, I'm addicted to drugs. And God says, no, 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 victory. And he creates that, or he goes to battle for you. God, I'm addicted to pornography. No, 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 victory, my young one. God, I'm broke, and you don't know how broke I am, but if you don't intervene, and God says, no, I got you, victory. God, I'm a praying for my backsliding daughter who has a call on her life and has walked away from you. And God says, victory. He's a victorious God. He's a victorious king. So what are you going to do? God has all the power, amen? As we've learned from the listening to Bishop for years, he talks about dunamis power. He's won the victory after victory. But we're sitting here defenseless and scared at times, like a deer stuck in the headlights, unable to move. God's gunning for somebody here tonight. I believe that with all my heart. As I was coming up with this and God was speaking to me, I believe there's somebody here that God wants to hear this. He's got your number. Have you ever looked into the cornfield and seen one of those giant tractors? You know what I'm talking about? The big boys, right? They have some tractors that are so big and so strong that when they step out of the field and they step into our world on the road, and we're kind of like looking up, we all of a sudden feel so small and insignificant, amen? You know what I'm talking about, those big John Deeres with the 8 giant tires. Do I have some young boys' attention in here? 13.6 liters, 827 cubic inches, 691 horsepower. I literally looked this up. That's pretty impressive. And how about this? 2,179 foot-pounds of torque. But let me ask you a question. What good is having all of that power if nobody turns on the PTO of that tractor? Amen? That tractor can have all the power that we can cram into that big, massive engine. But if nobody will engage that power, then it's pointless. Amen? God has all the power in the world. The Bible says that he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. But if we don't connect with him, if we don't engage with him, if we don't walk this walk, if we don't live this life, then we're going to be powerless. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I need a volunteer. I'm going to pick somebody small. Oh, I see. Is that Levi? Levi, come on up here. Are you sure you want to volunteer for this? You don't know. You have no clue what I'm going to do. All right? Honey, you got that waiver? All right, Levi, let me ask you a few questions, okay? What's your name?
Levi.
All right, we got that settled. Levi, how much do you weigh?
Last time I weighed myself was 69 pounds.
69 pounds. Now, if you look at myself, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody judge me, but I'm over 300 pounds, okay? All right, Levi, how much can you shoulder press?
Zero.
All right. I may be fat, but I did push up 450, over 450 for reps this last Sunday. So even though I'm getting old, I'm doing pretty good. So this is quite a difference of size comparison here, right? Levi, how much do you eat?
Three meals a day.
Three meals. All right. I eat about this much every day, right? All right, Levi, I want you to stand right here, if you would. And I'm going to do something right here. You turn around and face me. Can you turn around and face me? There you go. Put your hands up in the air. All right, we're going to do something called a trust fall. Who knows how this works? All right, so Levi, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to close my eyes. And I'm going to fall back, and you got to catch me, okay? You got this, right, brother?
Okay.
All right, here we go. That's not going to work too well. But let's put the shoe on the other foot, amen? Levi, why don't you hop up here? Now, Levi, face that way. Close your eyes. All right, when you're ready, I want you to fall backwards and trust me, okay? All right. Thank you. High five. Now go sanitize your hands. No, I'm just kidding. Now, I said that to say this, that when we do a trust fall with God, we must know that when we fall into his arms, the Bible says that he's all powerful. Amen. He is a lot bigger than us. He's a lot stronger than us. And yet we still struggle for some reason to trust him. God holds the cattle on 1,000 hills, amen? The Bible says that he is omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, and yet at times we still struggle to put our trust in him, amen? The Bible says that he has all the power, that God is large and in charge. He's in control of the Rona. He's in control of the Biden. He's in control of the borders. I'm not trying to be offensive. He's in control of the terrorists. He's in control of the economy. He's in control of the pronouns. He's in control of the genders. And he was in control from the very beginning of all the genders. If you don't believe me, read the book of Genesis. He's in charge of your family. Praise God. It's time to engage. Amen. Now we have another enemy that we haven't talked about tonight. And that's the enemy that we see whenever we look in the mirror. It's called the flesh, amen? Now, everybody loves a beautiful baby. When they're born in the world, they got the chubby cheeks and the chubby legs, and that's the one time in your life when it's okay to be chubby. And then you grow up, and it's not so cute anymore. And then you start losing your hair, and, well, you know. But everybody loves a cute little baby. They sit there, they walk around, they're trying to figure out how to talk and everything they do is adorable. I looked across as I was praying over here. I saw my little niece Lucille come in, and all I could see was a little forehead beep, 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 through the pews. Beep, beep, beep. It was so cute. But at some point, we move out of that cuteness stage, and at some point we go from cute kid to an adult, amen? Now, that adult flesh is something that we have to control, amen? The Bible says that we have to put ourselves under subjection to God. And it's really not very easy to do. I love praying and I love reading God's word, but the one thing that I've said time and time again, the one thing I hate to do is fasting. Amen. But as Pastor Thomas always said, if you want to last, you got to fast. But in order to conquer our flesh, we must look to God's word, and the Bible says to pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we must pray, and it's really hard for us to pray at times because we are so inundated with distractions. We have technology now that is so advanced, and every time we turn around, we're being inundated with information. And when we look in our phones, we have TikTok, and we have Twitter, and we have Facebook, and we have YouTube. I'm constantly on YouTube looking at videos, trying to learn more. And that's a good thing. But the problem is that if we do it too much of a good thing is what? Not good. I love cheesecake, but guess what? Too much of a good thing makes Rick even better. No, I'm just kidding. But we know that God is large and in charge, but we have to every day try to submit ourselves. We have to conquer our flesh. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. I don't even know where I'm at on my notes, but praise God. We need to be more than conquerors. Praise God. God wants to do something great in your life. God has a city that he has gifted to each one of us. It's not Pastor Roy's responsibility to reach this city. God has each and every one of us that has an influence around us. We each have a circle of influence, somebody that is watching you and watching how you are reacting in the world, and somebody who is following after you. And they may test you at times, but there's going to be times, sometime in their life, when they're going to be in a situation where they're going to have a need. And they're going to come to you, and they're going to know who prays. Amen? Praise God. This city has been left to us, and God wants to do something great in this city, and I believe it. Praise God. Now, I know if we look around, we live in a dark city. But guess what? Light shines the best in the darkness. Amen? Praise God. If our musicians could sneak up here while I'm wrapping this up, I'm going to give you hope for some Culvers or something tonight. Praise God. If you could stand to your feet right now. God's reaching out here tonight. God wants you to know that he is large and in charge, and that he is stronger and bigger than any situation that you can face. Amen? When we look at the Bible, we look at Elijah, and we look at Elijah on the story of Mount Carmel. Elijah got sick and tired of God's people being compromised, amen? So what did he do? The Bible tells us that he created an altar. He created an altar, and he literally took the prophets of Baal. The Bible says there was 450 of them. And one little old bitty Elijah. One little old bitty prophet of God. But it was one little old bitty prophet and one great big God. Amen? So I have a question for you tonight. Do you still believe? Do you still believe that God can conquer your situation? That God can conquer your sacrifice? Amen? Just like he did for Elijah. That God still wants to deliver his people? Amen. It wasn't for show, and it wasn't to impress the prophets. God can consume your problems, and God can consume that which seems impossible. He's just waiting for you to lay it down at an altar, just like Elijah did. It may seem impossible, that which you come and you bring to the altar. But you see, the Bible tells us in that story that Elijah took something that was made to be consumed and made it where it was impossible in the eyes of men to be consumed. Amen. He poured water over that sacrifice. He literally made it so wet, the Bible says that it literally filled up. But when God moves, amen, When God moves, the Bible says that the flame from heaven came down and it licked up every bit of that water. And it took away that sacrifice that was brought to the altar. He's waiting for you to release it. He's waiting for you to release it so he can consume it. Praise God. This altar is open right now. Now I want you to know that this is a judgment-free altar. There's nobody who's going to be sitting here trying to figure out, oh, what you've done. Maybe you're not somebody who usually comes up to the altar. That doesn't matter. Tonight's your night. Don't miss out on your blessing. We want you to come here, and we want you to just lift your hands, open your heart, and just, I dare you tonight to just challenge God. Come up here and see what he can do, amen? Remember, he is all-powerful. He's calling you to engage. Engage with him, praise God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. And God, I pray that you would move upon each one of these brothers and sisters here tonight. I pray, God, that you would pour out your spirit upon them, Lord. I pray, God, that you would lift us up, oh God, that you would help us, oh God, to see through your eyes. Help us to see our situation. Help us to see our trials, our struggles, our strongholds, no matter what it is, God. Help us to see through your eyes. Praise God. You are a great God, and we thank you, God, for what you're doing here. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise God. Don't walk out these doors without connecting with him. Don't miss out on your opportunity to let God do something great in your life. Praise God. Praise God.